Copenhagen, Denmark. Jan Torrensen won $3,500 in a national lottery but was unable to collect. His two-year-old daughter had eaten the winning ticket. Did you read that item in your paper today? Well, if you didn't, don't worry, because this is Funny Side Up, the show that brings you the brighter side of the news. So forget those dismal headlines and listen in as our panel of experts review the happier events of the day. And now, sitting in for Bert Parks, here's your host, Dennis Jay.
Thank you all very much. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Funny Side Up. It's good to be back with you all today. We've had lots of interesting news items for our panel, but before we meet them, I'd like to remind you all that all the news items used on this show have actually appeared in the papers. Only the names and places have been changed. And now, with a great deal of apprehension, but nevertheless hoping for the best, allow me to introduce the experts. First, as lovely and as attractive as ever, Miss Hermione Gingold.
Thank you. I feel wonderful today. I bought myself a new hat.
Any special occasion?
No. It's just that whenever I'm a good girl, I reward myself with a new hat.
You must like hats.
This is the first one I've ever had.
Well, we're all figuring that one out. Let's meet our next panelist, the elder statesman from New England, Mr. Calvin Potts. Well, Mr. Potts, you look mighty fine today, mighty fine.
Yes, I am. I just bought myself a new hat.
You too?
Yep. Whenever I'm a good boy, I buy myself a new hat.
And how many hats do you have?
Too darn many.
Where did you buy your hat, Mr. Potts?
Same place you got yours, at the Army Navy store.
Oh, now, come on, Mr. Potts. That's no way to start the show.
That's quite right, Mr. James. I realize Mr. Potts was just trying to make a joke, dear dull boy.
All right. Now, please let me get through the introductions. Occupying the third seat of honor on the panel is that gentleman from the state of Texas, Mr. Moneybags himself, Bot Spender.
Today, in fact, I felt so good I bought myself a gift.
Now, you didn't buy a hat, too.
No, I bought the place they make them, Panama.
Now, wait a minute. You don't expect us to believe that. Now, do you, Mr. Spender?
Now, really? All right. Don't doubt Mr. Spender's word. If he says he bought Panama, I'll believe him.
What's come over you, Potsy? I never knew you to believe what I say.
Well, it figures, that's all. It'd take all the hats in Panama put together to make one big enough for your head.
I know that my head ain't as small as yours, Potsy, but then mine was never caught in the threshing machine.
All right now, people, easy does it. Try to forget your personal differences just for a little while, and let's get down to the business at hand.
Yeah.
Now, the first item comes from Copenhagen, Denmark, and it reads as follows. Jan Torrensen won $3,500 in a national lottery, but was unable to collect. His two-year-old daughter had eaten the winning ticket.
Well, I've heard of kids eating you out of house and home, but this is ridiculous.
Now, you mean that they won't pay because a little girl ate the ticket?
That's right.
Well, I'll bet they'll cough up if she coughs up.
Oh.
See the picture?
I once knew a little girl who swallowed $10. It was much worse.
Now, wait a minute. How can swallowing $10 be worse than swallowing a lottery ticket worth $3,500?
This little girl swallowed $10 in dimes.
Well, that's the hard way. Now, in Texas, we got a... Thank you, ma'am. That's a sweet gal right over there. You know, in Texas, we got a gal who eats nothing but electric bulbs.
Now, come on, Mr. Spender. The girl eats nothing but electric bulbs.
That's right. She's a light eater. Yeah. Get that
Potsy
a light eater.
Well, she may have had electric bulbs, but you ain't too bright.
Come on, people, don't avoid the issue. We're talking about the two-year-old girl who ate the $3,500 lottery ticket. That's what we're talking about.
Well, she may not know it now, but she ate her wedding reception.
Yeah, you know, they say that two can live as cheap as one, but not if they eat that way.
I tell you, I had a neighbor back home there that almost won the Irish sweepstakes. Except for one thing.
What was that?
He couldn't afford to buy a ticket.
I know a young man who's always entering contests.
What sort of contest, Hermione?
Well, you know the kind, like, why I like Schlitz beer in 25 words or less. And then he entered one why I like Budweiser beer in 25 words or less. And then he entered another one called why I like Miller beer in 25 words or less.
Did he ever win?
No, but he's the happiest loser you ever saw.
Well, I met my wife at the annual corn husking contest and dinner dance. She asked her... I asked her to propose to me that same night.
Well, now look, how come you popped the question so soon?
Well, I danced with her three times, and I couldn't think of nothing else to say.
But, Fonzie, how'd you make out in the corn husking contest?
I lost there, too.
Oh, really, Mr. Potts, where has all the romance gone? Didn't you ever walk arm in arm down a moonlit lane and steal a kiss?
Sure, but that was before I met my wife.
Now, pal, I hate to bring this up, but we're talking about the two-year-old girl who ate the winning lottery ticket.
Now, Dennis, you know you're a nice boy, but will you please quit interrupting?
But, Mr. Spider,
look, if it'll make you feel any better, I'll send them people the money. How much was that ticket worth?
$3,500.
Well, 35. All right. But it means I'll have to cut out lunch this afternoon.
You what? You eat lunch for $3,500? What restaurant is that?
You don't know it. It's a little tiny, little old puny Italian restaurant I always go to.
Oh, now, come on, Mr. Spender. This I cannot believe.
It's the truth, son. It's just a tiny place on a side street. They serve the best pizza you ever tasted.
Now, let me get this straight. You're going out to lunch this afternoon, and it's going to cost you $3,500 for pizza?
That's right, son. The restaurant happens to be in Rome.
Spender,
right there on the side street.
Spender, wait a minute. You mean to say that you're going all the way to Rome just to eat your lunch?
Doesn't everybody? Why, man, that's the way we Texans do things. When I want French pastry, I go to Paris. When I want kidney pudding, I go to London. When I want fortune cookies, I go to China.
Well, all I can say is I hope you like devil's food cake.
Well, all right, we better get the devil out of here now, because that's the end of that subject. Let's turn to a portion of the paper that has many followers. The section dealing with health.
Yeah.
I've taken letters sent to editors of many papers throughout the country, letters from readers seeking medical tips and hints on health. And to answer those letters, I don't think any man is better suited for the task than our own outdoors man. A man who has spent his life living close to nature. A man who is a picture of health himself. Mr. Calvin Potts.
Well, if that's the picture of health, somebody ought to shoot the artist.
Now, come on. Come on now, Mr. Spender. Take it easy. Are you ready for the letters on health, Mr. Potts?
Could you talk a little louder? I ain't hearing so good today.
I say, are you ready for the letters on health, Mr. Potts?
Excuse me. I think I'm getting a cold here. What was it you were saying?
I say, are you ready for the
letters? A little
louder,
if you please. I told you I ain't hearing so good today.
I said, are you ready for the letters on health, Mr. Potts?
Not so loud. I got a splitting headache.
Mr. Potts, I think you should take your temperature.
What for? I'm feeling right in the pink. Now, all right, let's have them letters, Mr. Hames.
Hames, the name is James.
Oh, what does James have to say in his letter?
No, it's not. Well, let it go. Just forget it. The first letter is from Mrs. Mary Horlbogen of Pawtucket, Rhode Island, and she writes, I am very concerned about my son, Raymond. Raymond is 39 years old. He's 6 feet 4 inches tall and only weighs 101 pounds. Do you think I should have him x-rayed?
No, just hold him up to the light.
Now, Potsy, do you really think that kind of advice is actually going to help that poor little Raymond Horlbogen?
Well, who cares? He's lucky I ain't charging him for a house call.
Well, let's try this letter now, Mr. Potts. It's from Mrs. Alva Kudabach of New York, and she writes, my problem is my 12-year-old son. He just never falls asleep at night. He just keeps tossing and turning. What can I do to make him sleep?
Just put him on the edge of the bed. He'll fall right off.
Qualifies you to answer questions of a medical nature? What connection have you ever had with the medical profession?
His connection with the medical profession is quite obvious. He's sick.
Well, Mrs. Potts, I hope you're well enough to try one more letter. And this is from Mrs. Hank Frank.
Hank Frank? That's worse than Dennis James.
Or Hermione Gingold.
Yeah.
Well, it is an unusual name, Mrs. Hank Frank, and she's from Macon, Georgia. And she writes, last week I had my eyes examined, and after a lengthy 2-hour examination today, I found out that the doctor lost the results of my eye test. Now he tells me he has to examine me again. Do you think I should be examined all over?
No, just your eyes.
Watson, you're about as much help to these people as a barber is to Yul Brynner.
speaking of Yul Brynner, Mr. Fender,
yeah.
I'm quite dazzled by the reflection given off by the bald spot that's starting to break through your hair.
Well, now, that's just a touch of baldness, Miss Gingo, but that's heredity for you. You know what they say, if your father's bald, you're going to be bald.
And when your mother's bald, too, you don't stand a chance.
Well, I may be a little bald, son, but you know what to say. Grass doesn't grow on a busy street.
That's because it can't get through the cement.
Let's try one more letter here, Mr. Potts.
No, my office hours is over. From now on, it's by appointment only.
Just one more?
No, why don't you just forward it to young Dr. Malone?
Well, all right, I guess that does close our medical tips and hints on health for today. Let's try another item now. Let's try this. In Paris, artist Henri Pierre, who failed to sell a painting for 8 straight years, finally sold one for $14.70. The painting he sold was an abstract painting by his 3-year-old son.
Well, I think that's thrilling. A 3-year-old boy painting a picture and selling it, I call that exciting.
Now, ma'am, you don't know what thrilling and exciting means till you've seen a 2-year-old strike oil.
A 2-year-old strike oil?
Yes, sir, my son Buck did it.
Buck? Is that his real name?
No, his real name's Dollar.
You've got a son named Dollar?
That's right, Potsy. My oldest boy's name is Harold. Then I got another boy named Charlie, a third one named Jimmy, another boy George, and the youngest is Dollar.
Why'd you name him Dollar?
Well, now, you want to know why I named him? Are you ready, Potsy? It comes, ready or not. Now, get this. I named him Dollar because he's the smallest I've got. Yeah. You get it? Nobody is, but did you get it? Smallest I got. Ain't that a Lulu, Potsy?
Well, you named him Dollar, but he sure got shortchanged on his father.
Fellas, can't we ever stay on the item that we're discussing? What about the man who couldn't sell a painting for 8 years and then finally sold an abstract painting of his 3-year-old son? Now, what about him?
Well, actually, I don't care much for abstract paintings. I like paintings of strong, muscular, handsome men.
Miss Gingold, I'll let you have a portrait of me if you like.
Mr. Spender, I said I don't like abstract paintings.
Well, Al, we got a youngster back home there, Phineas Philanthrope.
Phineas Philanthrope?
That's right. Villara de Lancelot, Philanthrope's little boy. Lancelot, you know, he's the fellow that made his fortune teaching Mahjong to the Eskimos.
Well, that always was a big business.
Yes. Well, anyway, Phineas, he's one of them kids that's really handy with a crayon. Only 2 years old, and you ought to see the pictures that he drawed on all the walls of the house. Not a wall of that house that he didn't scribble all over.
Well, didn't his family get angry?
No. They framed the walls and sold them to the museum.
Archie, that's amazing. That's just downright amazing.
Oh, my dear, if you think that's amazing, you should see the house standing there with just a roof and a floor.
Miss Gingo, you know, sitting here listening to you all, I got the feeling that you're a woman who really knows art.
That's true. I spent many years studying the old masters, Rembrandt, Da Vinci, Van Gogh.
Did you say studying the old masters or studying with the old masters? I didn't
know. Just to be coming from you, that remark is sort of ridiculous. You're old enough to be Miss Gingold's father.
Well, that ain't a bad idea. Come here, baby, and let Daddy bounce you on his knee, huh?
Get that gleam out of your eye, boy. You're a little old to be talking like that, aren't you?
Well, I'll tell you, son, I'm like an old clock. My face may be worn, but there's nothing the matter with my mainspring.
Well, I don't think that this has much to do with the point and issue, do you all? The man who couldn't sell one of his paintings for 8 years and sold one of his 3-year-old son's abstracts.
I used to go with a painter.
What kind of work did he do?
He used to paint the white line down the middle of the highway.
Well, now that's what I call creative work.
Well, he was fired, and from my association with him, I just knew that that would happen.
Why?
Well, he was the type who never knew where to draw the line.
Yeah, draw the line. How about that? I remember the time my wife thought I was taking art lessons. Yeah, I sure had her fooled.
How could you fool her into thinking you were taking art lessons?
Well, one night I called her on the phone, and she heard the fellow in the back yell, "Draw another one and put a bigger head on it."
Well, that explains it. I thought when they was handing out noses, you thought they said roses, so you took a big red one.
Now, you two, do you stop that bickering? No trouble today. Miss Gingold, you mentioned before that you've studied art quite extensively. I presume you're familiar with Picasso?
Please, I hardly know the man.
No, I didn't mean that. I meant you obviously know the field of art. May I ask if you have ever been painted?
Yes, seeing that you ask, a great artist did paint me once.
How did it turn out?
Well, it was terrible. I had to bathe in turpentine for a week to get the paint off.
I've been to them wild show business parties, too.
Well, now, I don't know about the rest of you people, but down in Texas, we paint the expensive way. Only way to paint, and that's with oil.
Well, many people paint with oil.
Kind of oil that comes out of the ground? Yeah. How about that, Kingy? Pretty bad, huh?
Well, I tell you now, wait. Up in my neck of the woods, it's different. Like last week, I was having lunch with Toulouse-Lautrec.
Toulouse-Lautrec? He's dead.
I told him not to eat them oysters.
Let's get back to painting here. Mr. Potts.
Yes, all right.
Does your wife paint?
Yes, she does, and I'm glad, too. I tell you, I think a woman that works hard all day, tilling the soil, cleaning out the hen house, plowing the fields, washing down the mules, shoeing the horses, she's entitled to a little relaxation.
Painting. I think you're right. Now, what kind of painting does she do?
Well, last week I had her paint the barn. Tomorrow she's painting the room.
Now, wait a minute. You make your little old wife go up on the roof and paint?
Well, yeah, she has to be up on the roof anyway.
What for?
She's the aerial from a television set.
Have you gone completely off your rocker?
No, sir. I'm telling you, when she has them metal curlers in her hair, I get CBS just as clear as crystal.
Panel, I think you've outdone yourself on this one. You've strayed further from the topic than ever before, so let's move on now. Now comes that point in our show when we try to help our devoted listeners solve their problems which concern the affairs of the heart. And no one is more qualified to give advice to the lovelorn than our own sophisticated Miss Hermione Gingold. Miss Gingold, I'll read the first letter if you're ready.
I'm always ready.
Good. The first letter comes from Miss A.L. of Des Moines, and she writes, "Dear Miss Gingold, every time my boyfriend comes to call, he wants to spend the entire evening necking in the parlor. I don't like this, but he says every girl necks in the parlor. Now, this doesn't sound true to me. Don't you agree that there are lots of girls who don't neck in the parlor?"
"Certainly. The woods are full of them."
"Yeah, you know something? I remember when I was courting my little old wife. We used to sit out on the porch and hold hands and smooch."
"Yeah, I remember that, too."
"Ah, Potsy, my boy, those were the good old days."
"Yeah, Spender, them was the good old nights."
"All right, well, you gentlemen are lost here in reverie."
"That thing sure went fast."
Sure. I'll just go on now and read the next letter, okay? It comes from a young housewife in Abilene, Kansas, who writes, "We've been married for 7 years, but during the last year, my husband has been staying out till all hours of the night. Not only that, but strange girls call him on the phone and he gets perfumed letters in the mail. Do you think he's leading a double life?"
"No, it sounds more like a single one to me."
Pretty good, Miss Gingold. That's pretty good.
What'd you do, Spender? Retire from show business and become a critic?
Potsy, I only got one thing to say to you.
Only got one thing to say? Well, that's the best news I've had in months.
You were never at the Alamo, were you, Potsy?
No, I never was.
Well, that figures, because if you were, no one would ever want to remember it.
Well, now, wait a minute.
Now, hold it, you two. Now, come on. Listen, now, you're not being fair to Miss Gingold here. It's her turn to answer letters and all. Now, just simmer down while I read the next letter, okay?
Right.
Okay. Mr. G.K. writes, "Dear Miss Gingold, I have two wives, one in Philadelphia and one in New York. I spend Monday with my Philadelphia wife. Then I get my car and speed to New York and spend Tuesday with my New York wife. Then I get my car and speed to Philadelphia to my wife again. I do this all year. Now, is it against the law?"
"Of course, speeding is always against the law."
"Okay, I think you ought to ask him if he's speeding because he's in a hurry to get to his wives or to get away from them."
"That's a good point, Mr. Potts."
"Well, say, what's the matter with you folks anyway? This here man's got two wives."
"Oh, we'd never have known that if you didn't tell us."
"You saved them smart remarks. You're going to need them. Now, this is a serious matter. Why, if they ever catch this fella, they'll send him to jail."
"Well, if I had two wives, that's where I'd want to be."
"No judge would ever send you to jail. The prisoner's got it tough enough as it is."
Please cut it out. Now,
well,
come
for
on.
The life of me, I don't know how you people can take this business of having two wives so lightly. It's a serious offense. Now, you ought to know, Miss Gingold, what's the penalty for bigamy?
Two mothers-in-law.
And with that bit of information, we'll close our Love Lawn column for today. And now here's an item, panel, about a fellow who really has bad luck. Listen to this one. In Columbus, Ohio, George Sinclair, whose driver's license was revoked yesterday, was back in court today for jaywalking.
Well, now if he gets picked up for crawling, he's headed.
I can just hear the judge saying, all right, son, no walking for 3 days.
The poor man keeps up at this rate. In another 3 days, he'll be back in a playpen.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, you have to be careful today with all these reckless drivers on the road. It's just terrible.
Well, I'm happy to say I have no trouble driving, and that is because I always obey the traffic signals. I always stop on the green, and I don't go until it turns red.
Oh, well, wait a minute. I think you're a little mixed up, Miss Gingold. You're supposed to stop on red and go on green.
Oh, I was wondering why all those horns were honking.
Miss Gingold, where did you take your driver's license test?
My what?
The driver's license test.
Is this some sort of a joke, Mr. Park?
No. Don't you have a license, Miss Gingold?
Well, of course. There's one in front of the car and one at the back.
One in the front? No. I mean, don't you have a license you carry in your wallet?
Mr. Spender, have you ever seen the size of those things? They're easily a foot long. Made of heavy metal.
Well, now, Miss Gingold, if two fellas in blue uniforms grab you when you leave the studio, just go peaceful and throw yourself on the mercy of the court.
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute, fellas. Don't ride her now. I think that maybe I can clear this up. You see, Miss Gingold, in order to be permitted to drive a car, you have to take a driver's test. Now, think about it. Have you ever been tested in a car?
Yes, I have once, and I've slapped his face.
That's not the kind of test I had in mind at all, Miss Gingold.
Well, it ain't a bad idea. Yahoo!
Oh, really, Mr. Spender, I thought you'd had a better bringing up than that, and you were a college man.
Now, hold on, Miss Gingold. Don't go insulting Mr. Spender on that score.
Thanks, son.
He may not have been the best-looking kid in his class, but he sure was the dumbest.
Well, I think we're getting off the beaten track again. We're discussing the gentleman who had his driver's license revoked, and the next day he was pulled in for jaywalking.
Well, now, I'll tell you the truth.
That'll be unusual.
Now, don't you two start again now. Now, what were you going to say, Mr. Spender?
Now, because he interrupted me, I forgot.
Well, you started in by saying, I'll tell you the truth.
I know, but I'll forget what it was.
Well, shouldn't be hard to remember. How many truthful things do you know?
I'm going to overlook that part. Oh, yeah, now I remember. I was just going to say that the signs in this here city are enough to drive a man out of his mind.
What do you mean?
Well, I'll give you an example.
Take notes, folks. He gives a test later.
Never mind. Will you please give me half a chance to talk?
I don't think you need that much.
Mr. Potts, I'm going to ask you to please be quiet now. You go ahead, Mr. Spender. You've got the floor.
This man's going to drive me to drink.
I ain't driving you nowhere. If you want a drink, take the bus.
Like I was saying, what was I saying?
Oh, you was going to say something about the signs in New York.
Oh, yeah, well.
And remember, it's going to be truthful.
I'll tell you one thing truthful, Potsy. Take my advice. Don't ever walk in front of my car, or I'm going to engrave my license plate on your back.
Now, look, Mr. Spender, now, please, you were going to say something about the signs in New York.
Yeah, that's right, I was. Well, what I was getting at is that it said, no U-turn.
No U-turn? Well, what's the matter with that?
Well, it should be you no turn.
Mr. Spender is absolutely right. The signs here are utterly confusing.
But you've had trouble too, Miss Gingold.
Oh, I have.
Yeah.
Now, the other night I stopped in a drugstore and phoned a gentleman friend of mine and asked him to pick me up and drive me home.
Yeah.
So when he asked where I was, I walked out, I looked at the street sign, then I told him. And he drove around for 3 hours and he found 26 streets with the same name.
Now, that's unbelievable. Where were you?
Well, I was on the corner of Walk and Do Not Walk.
Panel, is there anything else anyone has to say about the man who lost his driver's license and the next day was picked up for jaywalking?
Well, now people have to learn to be careful. It's for their own good, but I guess we've all done it once or twice. In fact, I don't mind admitting I was picked up for jaywalking.
Why? It ain't your fault you walk like a bird.
Well, I think the light just turned green again, panel. Let's cross the street and move on to the next topic. Well, we have a special service for our listeners today. All of you already know that our colleague, Mr. Spender, is a prominent industrialist and financier. But in the public interest, he also operates the Bart Spender Research Laboratories. In his modern, scientifically equipped headquarters, Mr. Spender tests every new product that comes on the market and makes the results of his findings open to the public. Now, are you ready for your weekly report, Mr. Spender?
You know it, son. All week long, the Bart Spender Research Laboratories have been buzzing with activity. I've had my shoulder to the wheel, my ear to the ground, and my nose to the grindstone.
Oh, that's what 'twas. I thought you'd been in a fist fight.
Now, please, Mr. Potts, I'd appreciate it if you didn't interrupt Mr. Spenner's report.
Well, now, thank you, Dennis. Now then, there's a little factory in South Carolina that just went into operation, and I predict big things for the future.
What do they make down there?
Very sentimental product for veterans.
For veterans?
Yeah. Now, listen to this, all you ex-GIs. Send your army shoes to this factory, and you can have them dipped in bronze.
Oh, well, that ain't so new. My wife has shoes dipped in bronze.
Well, they've always done it with baby shoes, but this is the first time they're doing it with army shoes.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It's just that my wife's baby shoes look like army shoes.
Now, Mr. Spender, our time is limited. Will you continue with your report?
Well, now, you bet, son. One of the most useful and revolutionary products of the 20th century came to our attention last week, a new ballpoint pen. If your wife likes to write checks, ma'am, this is the only pen you should let her use.
Well, I like to write checks. Why is this the only pen women should use?
Now, because this ballpoint pen writes underwater.
But all the others write underwater.
Yeah, but that's the only place this one writes, you know. See?
Now, do you have any other products to report on, Mr.
I think
Spender?
I'll drop the last one, yes. Yeah. Well, I got to just one more. This is my big story. Let me have your undivided attention. This is important news.
Go ahead. I'm breathless.
Promises. All I get is promises.
Now, please, Mr. Spender, we're running out of time.
Well, it's a one-passenger rocket ship guaranteed to reach the moon.
You actually tested this?
Don't doubt me, son. I sent my right-hand man up for a trial flight. He went shooting straight up to the sky.
Well, that's thrilling, Mr. Spender, but are you sure he'll come back?
He'll come back all right. I'm keeping his watch for security.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Spender, for your most enlightening report. We're going to have to find your company doing a little more from time to time. Well, I guess we had it for today, judging from the clock. We'll see you all tomorrow, we hope. And meanwhile, if you see any amusing articles in the papers that you'd like our panel to discuss, please send them along to us, care of CBS Radio, 485 Madison Avenue, New York, 22, New York. Let me repeat. That's CBS Radio, 485 Madison Avenue, New York, 22, New York. Until then, this is Dennis James speaking for the entire panel here and saying, keep your funny side up.
Is written, produced, and created by Ben Jolson and Art Bear. Executive producer, Jack Curtis. For announcer, Art Hammond.
Side Up has been brought to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service. Thank you.